You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So the New York Mets had their final game against the Phillies rained out on Thursday. No surprises there. That's the way this season has been going. And now they get to go and play in a blizzard out in Denver against the Rockies. So what we're going to do on today's show, in the first segment, I want to look at some of the former Mets that are around the league. Some who are playing great, others who are playing poorly. I know fans like to check in on these guys, so I want to go through some of those numbers. In the second segment, I want to hone in on Jeurys Familia. I thought he's been throwing the ball a little bit better than the numbers would indicate, so I dug into the advanced metrics through StatCast to see if he is, in fact, pitching at a high level this year and what we can expect from him moving forward. Finally, in the third segment, I will preview this weekend series against the Rockies, which will hopefully begin tonight, weather permitting. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Also, you can follow the show at Locked On Mets. And we were doing a giveaway this week for a signed photo of Daryl Strawberry. I have the winner drawn right here. It is Really M. Reimer on Twitter. So I will send you a DM and get you that photo of Daryl Strawberry. Congratulations. Let's now talk about the former Mets. I want to start off with one that you can barely call a former Met because he only got into a handful of games, never got a hit, only drew one walk. That was a $10 million walk in 2019, maybe a $20 million if you want to factor in his salary for 2020, and that's Jed Lowry. So there was been some interesting information about Lowry that has been, you know, made public recently, as he has told the media and The Athletic that he wanted to get knee surgery because of that long ailing injury, and the Wilpons would not allow it. Now, this is a remarkable revelation that is completely unsurprising if you paid attention to what happened during the Wilpon era. Just complete gross negligence and mismanagement. I'm at a loss for words at some of these stories that come out, and I believe there's going to be more stories that continue to come out about the Wilpons over the next couple of years. I don't think that you can completely rid yourself from the vestiges of such a toxic regime overnight. It's going to take some time, and this is just the latest story. But Jed Lowry finally is healthy. He's playing baseball again. When I first saw his performance, I was like, okay, wow, here we go. Another former Met goes to another team and is tearing it up. But then when the story came out, I suddenly am rooting for Lowry. Good for him. You know, 37 years old, I believe he is. Out in Oakland again, doing his thing. Hats off to him. But basically, to give you the numbers, he's hitting .333 this year. So he's gotten hits for the A's. That's something he never did for the Mets. On base percentage is .412, slugging percentage .533. He has three doubles and two home runs, 11 RBIs, and 9 runs scored. That is more RBIs and more runs scored than any Met. He's tied with Dominic Smith when it comes to home runs, and Brandon Nimmo is leading the team with three doubles, the same as Lowry. Now, Lowry has played in more games. They haven't dealt with all the rain and COVID washouts that the Mets have, but still, Lowry out there performing very well. And another former Met from that team over the last 2 years who has hit his stride somewhere else is Wilson Ramos, who I think the last I checked was leading baseball in home runs. Now, that might have changed, but he has 6 home runs this year, which is more than he had all of last year in 45 games when he hit just 5 home runs. He has 10 hits and 28 at-bats. 6 of them have been homers. Now, if you look at some of the advanced stats on Ramos, he is due to fall back down to earth. He's been very fortunate with some of those home runs. I don't think that's going to keep up, but just something to note for Mets fans who like to get frustrated by these things. I had to at some point talk about Wilson Ramos and all the home runs he's hitting. Again, the Mets are way better off with James McCann. Don't think for a second that they should have picked up Ramos's option. That would be crazy because there's a lot of things that go into catching. By the end of the year, I think James McCann will probably have a better offensive season, but what he's giving you day to day behind the plate, you can't even quantify the difference between the two. It's night and day. The Mets pitchers who are off to a great start this year, a lot of that has to do with James McCann, who's basically been behind the plate for almost every pitch this year. So now let's talk about some former Mets who are not performing well, but I am rooting for. And that's the guys that went in the trade to get Francisco Lindor, Amed Rosario, and Andrés Giménez. Now, Giménez is being all set up to be the shortstop of the future for the Indians. Not performing great right now. He's 5-for-27 with a 585 OPS. But I'm sure he's given them that great defense. He is a guy they're going to try to build around. I like to see him in that role. I'm looking forward to those numbers getting better. I will always root for Giménez. I was sad to see him go. He was the player in that trade that hurt the most to see him move because he was probably the best part of 2020 for me watching the team, him and David Peterson. But again, you make that deal 100 times out of 100 to get Lindor. Unfortunately, rough start so far. And same goes for Rosario, who's 5-for-28, 179 batting average, 472 OPS. He's actually splitting time between shortstop and center field, which is a move I was kind of campaigning for when Rosario was on the Mets. It has not looked pretty, though. So I might have been wrong on that one. I actually reached out to those Cleveland Tribecast guys that I've talked to a few times, once on this show. I was on their show, asked them what they thought about Rosario out in center field, and they said, think of Henry Rowengarter's first at bat in Rookie of the Year, which, if you remember, looked pretty uncomfortable for the 13-year-old going against Major League pitching. Can't remember the age of that movie, but regardless, apparently doesn't look great for Rosario out in center field. He does have the athleticism, so maybe over time he can iron that out. Also, good chance that he might get moved again in another trade. He's kind of been rumored to be on the block. Let's talk about a couple of the starting pitchers now that were part of the Mets' vaunted rotation in 2015. You have Steven Matz with the Blue Jays, who of course is off to a great start to his season, has given up just one earned run in each of his two starts, has a 1.46 ERA and 13 strikeouts in 12 and a third innings pitched, has 4 walks so far. Now for Steven, to me, this is not a case of the Mets gave up on a guy too soon. It's just not. Because I don't think Steven Matz would have done this with the Mets. And there is no way after his disastrous season last year that you could have included him in your rotation. So if he would have been coming out of the bullpen, not a clear set role, if he was kind of your stand-in instead of Joey Lucchesi, I don't think he would have fared well in that role. I think he would have been, I don't want to call him a distraction, because it's not like he was ever anything but great in the clubhouse. But when you have someone who had a certain stature with the team who would have to have taken a more limited role, I just don't think that would have worked out. So it's good to see him move on and have some success, and I hope that continues for him. But anyway, I want to now switch gears again, focus in on the current team, and we'll talk about Dries Familia in just a minute. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs, at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Ring sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female designers have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's talk a bit about Jurice Familia. So far this year, you can say it's the same old guy. He is still struggling with his control. Is he really a reliever you can trust when he comes in and walks the leadoff batter? The short answer would be no. You can't trust a guy who continues to have that problem with the walks. But when I look at Familia and what has happened so far, all of the hits he's given up have been like nubbers, little flares into the outfield. No one is squaring this guy up. So I went to StatCast, looked at his rankings around the league. When it comes to average exit velocity against, he's in the 100th percentile. That means the balls coming off the bat against Familia are coming off slower than any other pitcher in baseball. That's how good he has been when it comes to the contact against him. On that same note, the max exit velocity for him is in the 89th percentile. Hard hit percentage, 97th percentile. Expected batting average, 69th percentile. Expected ERA, the 79th percentile. Expected WOBA, the 79th percentile. Expected slugging percentage, the 88th percentile. Barrel percentage, 78th percentile. And his chase rate is in the 90th percentile. So what all of that means, essentially, is based on his pitches and the way batters are responding to them, their ability to put a barrel on it, to square it up, their tendency to chase those pitches with his movement that trails out of the strike zone. He should be a great pitcher. That's what all of these metrics are telling us. Then you get to the three bad statistics based on these percentile rankings around baseball. K percent, strikeout percent, 10th percentile. Not striking out nearly as many. Extremely small sample size with all of this. But would the strikeouts eventually come? Probably. But the problem with Familia is that he doesn't have enough pitches right now that look like strikes, that tail out of the zone, that people aren't hitting. You know, he does have that high chase rate. But I think a big part of that is so many of his pitches end up tailing out of the zone. It's still that same problem with Familia of, can you throw strikes? Can you attack hitters? And can you put them away now? Which has certainly never been a problem for Familia throughout his career. But the last couple of years, that strikeout per nine has dropped off. In 2020, his strikeout per nine was 7.76. Throughout the rest of his career, it was generally well over nine. So he was striking out less batters last year, and this year it has dropped off as well. It's at 6.75 for a strikeout per nine, which is identical to his walk rate. And when it comes to his walk percentage, he's at the 23rd percentile for that. So that's another one where his walk rate is way too high. Whiff percentage is the third metric when it comes to these percentile rankings that Familia does not fare well at. He's in the 31st percentile. So basically, when guys are swinging at his pitches, they're generally hitting them just softly. That's basically what that means. When I look at, you know, his entire career, right? When Familia was great in 2015, His strikeout percentage was nearly 28%. His walk rate was 6.2%. And that's why he produced the best ERA of his career at 1.85. If he could ever get back to the point where his walk rate got all the way down again, he could be the best reliever on this team. I'm dead serious. If Jeurys Familia learned control again, was able to attack hitters, if he got to that point where they were uncomfortable because they knew, okay, this guy can throw strikes, so I have to try to use my bat to get on base. I can't just get my free pass. And that's where the strikeouts would skyrocket as well. The problem right now is what I've continued to say. If you're a batter going against Familia, you'll just take until you get two strikes. Because why wouldn't you? But that does not mean that he can't correct that over a season. Last year, didn't get a full campaign to figure everything out. Maybe this year it happens. The fact is, unlike a Betances, his velocity is still up. His average fastball velocity is still over 98 miles per hour. The sinker, it's at like 96.7. So that's the average velocity, which means he can even probably dial it up a little bit more when he needs a big pitch. I would like to see what happens with Familia if he gets on a little bit of a run, gets some confidence, and maybe even gets to a point where the fan base when he's pitching in City isn't completely against him. And if we could maybe get a little bit of a semblance of what he was in 2015 and 2016, where he had a completely different demeanor on the mound. Even now, it just feels like a guy that's going out there and trying not to screw up. And I don't know what he has to do to erase that. I do want to give him credit for working very hard after a disastrous 2019 campaign. He lost a lot of weight. He's clearly tried to get better, and it just hasn't all come together for him. But I would not be surprised if we looked up in July and Jeurys Familia might be one of the arms that is gone to the most and is one of the better guys the Mets have in high leverage situations, because the stuff is still very good. There's not a lot of guys who can square him up. So you just want to see if he can figure out whatever's going on between the ears and he can maybe get some of that mojo back. With all that said, I'll never trust him again. So I don't begrudge any Mets fans who get on the edge of their seats every time he comes in and, you know, maybe even shield their eyes, can't watch, because he's earned it. He really has. But the metrics tell us that he should get some promising results. His expected ERA is 2.67 right now. And expected ERA is basically a metric that tries to remove all the other variables and just focus on a pitcher's performance and what that should result when it comes to his ERA. So if that's an indication of what he could be this year, maybe he's more valuable to this bullpen than we really anticipated. Anyway, in just a minute, I want to preview this weekend series between the Mets and the Colorado Rockies. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with 18 amazing flavors including the Caramel Brownie Bar, Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy, as Built Bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Considering all of the weather problems the Mets have dealt with this year, is it any surprise that they're going to play in a tundra right now in Denver? They're expected to get 2.5 to 4 inches of snow between Thursday afternoon and Friday evening. So that's fun. I don't know how the grounds crew works there. If there's a Zamboni that maybe drives around the field, takes some of the ice off. I don't know how that works. We'll see what happens. Can Francisco Lindor play shortstop in ice skates? Is that possible? It might need to happen. We'll see if Friday's game gets played. The good news is it's supposed to be a bit sunnier on Saturday and Sunday. So that could be fortunate. Even if Friday gets snowed out, maybe they can play a doubleheader on Saturday and make up these games. It's just been a crazy season when it comes to weather. But let's focus in a little bit more on the two teams on the field. The Rockies, at the time of this recording, are 3-9. They're playing the final game in a series against the Dodgers as I record here. They're on a 5-game losing streak up to this most recent game. So they're clearly not playing good baseball. And when it comes to the pitching matchups, the Mets have an edge, at least in the first game and in the third game, when Jacob DeGrom and Marcus Stroman will be on the mound. On Friday night, it should be Jacob DeGrom versus Chichi Gonzalez. Gonzalez is a former first-round pick, but he has a 5.03 ERA. He pitched out of the bullpen for his first two appearances this year, made his first start last Saturday, gave up a run in 4 hits, walked 3 batters, in 5 innings pitched. For his career, as I said, has that 5.03 ERA this year, about the same. He's a 6-pitch pitcher, but really just relies on a fastball at 92 and a cutter at 88. You would think at the high altitude and everything else, the Mets should be able to do some damage against Chichi, but Jacob DeGrom's on the mound, so you can't count on anything. And DeGrom, of course, searching for his first win of the season, 21 strikeouts in his first 14 innings pitched, a 0.64 ERA. On Saturday, it'll be German Marquez against Joey Lucchese. This is the one game where you could maybe say the Rockies have an edge with this pitching matchup, although I wouldn't be surprised if Lucchese has a better performance. Looked very good in his one relief appearance this year, pitching 2 scoreless innings and getting 3 strikeouts. For Marquez, he has a 4.24 ERA across his career in 6 seasons, has a fastball at 95, mixes that with a really nice curveball, which this year has a 44% whiff rate against him. So those are kind of the weapons you have to look out for with Marquez. But he's one of those guys the Rockies have had where they have great stuff, but they can't pitch in Coors. Throughout his career, he has a 3.53 ERA on the road in 347 innings. At home, it's a 5.05 ERA across 303 innings. So that's what you're dealing with Marquez. And luckily, this game is taking place at Coors Field. So if those career splits hold up, the Mets should have no problem scoring some runs. Finally, it is Marcus Stroman versus Anthony Senzatella. Senzatella has a 5.07 career ERA. This year it's at 7.07, only has 7 strikeouts in 14 innings pitched. Another guy the Mets should be able to square up. So there's a running theme here. I believe the Mets have a great opportunity to win this series. And for Stroman, he's 2-0 this year. The Mets win when he's on the mound. His ERA is 0.75. Has not had a ton of strikeouts because he's been pitching to contact, getting ground balls like you want him to do. When it comes to the Rockies lineup, there's really only one hitter to fear so far this year, and that is Ryan McMahon. He has a 298 batting average, 6 home runs, 3 doubles, 10 RBIs, has scored 8 runs, an OPS over 1,000. He's having a nice season, and nobody else is, honestly. Trevor Story, of course, though, is a star and can break out at any time. Has yet to homer this season, has a 675 OPS. I do wonder where his head's at. Nolan Arenado gone. Team clearly in a rebuild. He's about to hit free agency. You would think he needs to go out and perform, but there's also trade rumors. Will he get moved? They never really offered him that big contract. So we'll see if Story has a breakout at some point this weekend. Could be it. He's not going to be held down forever. You just hope he stays cold for this weekend. Charlie Blackman, another name to mention. You know, former All-Star, really good player. But this year, he's been terrible. 154 batting average. He is getting into his 30s, so maybe that is indicative of a decline. Or it's freezing cold in Denver, and he's just struggling to start his season. Maybe when the weather warms up, his bat warms up, and he ends up having a big year. I think last year, for a while, he was leading the league in batting. A guy that can always win a batting title when he is playing at Coors Field for a majority of the season. So that's basically what you're looking at. The Mets are a much better team than the Rockies. This could be a great opportunity to really stack up some wins. It'd be nice to see the Mets really carry out this winning streak and go on a little bit of a roll. The Braves have struggled to start their season. They just lost 3 of 4 to the Marlins. You like to kind of capitalize on an opportunity where they're down, where some of their pitching is hurt with Max Fried going on the IL. So this is a chance the Mets can really jump out to a quick lead in this division. And if they're a good team, which we expect them to be, they should be able to hold that throughout the season. So we'll see what happens. Big weekend for the Mets. Hopefully we get these games in and hopefully they stay hot. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And if you're addicted to fantasy baseball, you now have a new resource that will give you an edge in your leagues. And that's the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast, a daily show hosted by veteran analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.